A cheetah named Tabitha paces inside her zoo enclosure, performing a daily show called the Cheetah Run. She chases a mechanical bunny on a rope while tourists snap photos, then receives her steak reward like a good performer. But something shifts when she enters an adjacent fenced field. Her entire demeanor transforms. She begins stalking the perimeter with a regal, almost frightening presence. A little girl whispers to her mother, "She turned wild again." This moment becomes the central metaphor for understanding how we lose ourselves. We aren't broken for feeling trapped in lives that don't fit. We're wild creatures living in cages we didn't build. The taming begins early. At 10 years old, most of us start absorbing unspoken rules about acceptable feelings, proper behavior, ideal body types, approved beliefs, and permissible forms of love. The pressure to conform doesn't make us sick because something's wrong with us. We're caged girls and boys made for wide open skies, and our rebellion, whether through eating disorders, addiction, or quiet desperation, is our wild nature refusing to die. Offer food to teenage boys and girls. Every boy immediately says yes, looking inside for his answer. The girls stay silent, scanning faces, polling for consensus before their spokesperson politely declines. Boys check inside. Girls check outside. We forgot how to know when we learned how to please. Walk down any toiletries aisle and witness this conditioning. Boys' products scream commands. Armor up in man scent. Drop kick dirt. Girls' pink bottles whisper adjectives. Alluring, radiant, gentle. Our children are shamed out of their full humanity before they even get dressed. In Catholic class, a young girl questions why Eve was blamed for wanting knowledge and is quickly silenced. The message lands, women's curiosity and hunger for more is the original sin. We keep ourselves in snow globes, constantly shaken with busyness and worry to avoid uncomfortable truths at our center. We become experts at distraction, never sitting still long enough to confront the dragons within. We create elaborate systems to avoid the one question that terrifies us most. What if the life I'm living isn't mine? Freedom begins with feeling everything. 6 days sober, a woman at a recovery meeting confesses she feels awful. Another responds, "You're not doing life wrong. You're doing it right. Feeling all your feelings is hard, but that's what they're for. Pain isn't tragic. It's the fuel of revolution." The second key is stillness. After discovering her husband's infidelity, one woman realizes she's been seeking everyone's advice but her own. She begins sitting in her closet for 10 minutes daily, just breathing. Eventually, she discovers a knowing, an inner wisdom that guides with gentle nudges. The answers are never out there. They're as close as our breath. The third key is daring to imagine. Despite being a recovering alcoholic and bulimic at 26, something whispers yes when discovering an unexpected pregnancy. Years later, at 40, despite a seemingly perfect family, falling in love with a woman contradicts everything that appears to make sense. Living by faith means following these inner nudges, the warm liquid gold pressing inside. The fourth key demands we build and burn. Once we feel, know, and imagine more for ourselves, we cannot return to our previous state. True rebirth demands death of what was, burning cultural memos that define selflessness as the pinnacle of womanhood. There's an ache that interrupts everything, reminding us that everyone we love will die, that everything ends. Many numb it with food, alcohol, work, or endless scrolling. For one woman, pregnancy at 25 awakened a desire to live for this new being she already loved. 10 years sober, called to both her sister's childbirth and grandmother's deathbed, she finally surrenders to the ache. Inside it, she discovers everyone who has ever loved and lost, the we she'd been seeking. The ache wasn't warning her to leave life, but inviting her to stay present through endings. In Paris, before the Mona Lisa, that enigmatic half-smile finally makes sense. She was painted after having a new baby following another child's loss. She refused to smile fully, wanting both joy and grief visible. She becomes the patron saint of honest women who refuse to pretend. True bravery isn't feeling afraid and doing it anyway. It's living from the inside out, honoring your inner knowing, even when it contradicts the crowd. When Tish was born, her mother recognized her temperament, born concerned, refusing pretense. Instead of forcing happiness, she helped Tish be authentic. Now 14, Tish remains emotionally open. During her parents' divorce, she refused to get over it, crying nightly. Confessing her fear of losing her mother, she received a promise, "You're never going to lose you." Current parenting culture has become oppressive. Our grandmother's memo, "Take the baby home and let it grow." Our mother's, "Lock the kids outside and have coffee." Ours, "This child is your savior. Parenting is your religion. Never allow anything difficult." We shield them from discomfort, ensure they win everything, intervene in every conflict. This exhausts us and weakens our kids. People who don't crumble have failed, felt pain, and learned from consequences. Technology steals something more precious, their inner lives. One boy spent afternoons drawing maps and writing lyrics until he got a phone at 13. His bright eyes dulled. He was physically present, but mentally elsewhere, hovering among family while longing to be inside his phone. Inside boredom's itchiness, we discover who we are. By giving children phones, we steal their boredom, and the writers who will never start writing, the artists who will never start doodling. Boys are caged too. We train them to objectify women, value power, and suppress emotions beyond competitiveness and rage, then act shocked when they become what we've trained them to be. We label mercy, tenderness, and empathy as feminine to discount these qualities in women and shame them out of men. One father spent hours with a friend who just had a baby and returned knowing nothing about the baby's name, the family's exhaustion, or his friend's mother's cancer. It must be lonely carrying alone what we were meant to carry together. During carpools, one mother turns down the radio and asks real questions. "What was your most embarrassing moment? Who seems loneliest in your class?" The boys roll their eyes but start talking, revealing fascinating inner lives. When uncomfortable laughter follows vulnerability, she reminds them, "Life is hard. Friends need to be safe places." Our boys are as human as our girls. They need permission and safe spaces to share their humanity. When a 12-year-old sees magazine covers displaying thin, blonde, scantily clad women, her mother helps her critically examine the messages. Together, they notice how real women differ from these images. The girl creates a petition demanding magazines show strong, kind, brave women of all body types. We can't shield children from cultural lies, but we can teach them to be critics instead of consumers, to detect lies and get angry rather than swallow them and get sick. When heartbreak rings, answer the door. The thing that breaks your heart is what you were born to help heal. Women in Iowa who lost babies to stillbirth channeled their grief into lowering stillbirth rates statewide. One woman woke at 3 a.m. on fire after reading about children stripped from asylum-seeking parents. Her nonprofit has now raised over $20 million. For those who live too high and too low, 5 truths. Take your medication without shame. Keep taking it when you feel better. Take notes in the bad place so you can explain it later. Know your buttons, what takes you out versus what resets you. Remember that we, sensitive, passionate, deep people, aren't broken. Our sickness is also our superpower. After 18 years, 2 people finally acknowledged they didn't fit together. We tried because it was the right thing to do, because we thought we should. But right is not real, and should is a cage. Now, an ex-husband and his ex-wife's new wife play on the same soccer team. They created their family from the inside of each person out so everyone has room to grow while still belonging. When a 10-year-old retreats into food and isolation after her parents' divorce, her stepmother-to-be suggests trying out for an elite travel soccer team. "Yes, I believe you could make it. Somebody's got to make it. Why not you?" When someone later comments on how lucky this family is, the response is simple. "We are terribly lucky. It is also true that we imagined this life before it existed, and then we each gave up everything for the one in a million chance that we might be able to build it together. The braver I am, the luckier I get. Women often define themselves by who they love and what roles they play. Mother, wife, sister, friend, career woman. This keeps the world spinning, but leaves us untethered when those roles change. Each woman must answer not just who do I love, but what do I love? What makes me come alive? Remember, I am the builder, not the castle. Building, rebuilding, playfully, lightly, never changing, always changing. Stay in any room, conversation, relationship, or institution until you know what you need to know. The staying might be making you, but once you're made, once you trust your body's truth, you don't have to suffer voluntarily or silently anymore. When asked what you are, happy or sad, believer or doubter, brave or weak, caged or wild, the answer is elegantly complete. I am. Like the divine response in ancient texts, I am, I am. And that wild, untamed truth is enough.